Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Let's start with what has happened in the United States. Tulsi Gabbard resigned. And she was one of the, in my opinion, one of the most important characters or figures in the Trump administration, because before, you know, on January, when we thought that she's going to be part of the administration, we thought that she's going to be against the war in the Middle East. She's going to help Donald Trump in the case of the war in Ukraine. Nothing of that sort has happened. We have, you know, the continuation of the war in Ukraine, the war in the Middle East, which we didn't have it before. And she didn't do anything. She was against, you know, expansion of American forces in the Middle East. When it comes to Syria and that those problems in Syria, she was advocating for withdrawing the troops from Syria, no more war in the Middle East. But yeah, we haven't heard that much from her position when the war against Iran started. And right now, if you remember, the Trump administration, the White House, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, a month ago, they announced that she has to resign before midterm election.
Yep.
Right now, we've heard today, all of a sudden, we've learned that she resigns. And because of her husband having some sort of bone cancer, that's why she has to be, you know, help. She has to help him during the process of, you know, the medical process that he is in. And what is your understanding of Tulsi Gabbard? Is that going to be a big loss for the Trump administration, or is that, or they're not going to be that influenced by, you know, by losing Tulsi Gabbard? And it's not just about Tulsi Gabbard. We had Amaryllis Fox yesterday. She resigned as well. It seems to me that these resigns are somehow related to the war in the Middle East. Your understanding of what has happened?
You know, when you said, you know, something happened in America, that's just like, yeah, okay. Which time, this time of the day did something happen in America? That's just kind of like, you know, the endless train wreck that is modern America. There was a prediction that most of the people that came in with Trump wouldn't be there by the end of the year. So a lot of them have made it past the end of the year, but they're falling out left and right. And Trump gets rid of a lot of people around him. And he's a bully about it too, by the way, as we saw with Kent. Now there's investigations on Kent for telling the truth. And Kent left. And Trump mean-mouths his people too, after they leave. He doesn't do it to their face, but he does it to their back. With Tulsi Gabbard, it's not a big loss, honestly speaking, at all. There was a lot of hope on her, but the first thing that kind of looked wrong is when Danny Davis, she wanted Danny Davis to be her assistant. And because he wouldn't bend the knee to the Israeli lobby, that was gone. So that already started the alarm bells ringing for anybody who's paying attention, because, hey, so she must have bent the knee, and her rhetoric started becoming more pro-Israeli. I'm sorry, I got to change my position. I got an old army injury that's flared up, so I'm going to lift my leg up. I'll move me down a little bit, so I'm still in there. So that was already one of those signs, but she was still against the Iran war. And she testified to Congress that Iran's not looking to make nuclear weapons, at which point she got backslapped. And off she goes. It becomes a wallflower. Now, to understand Tulsi Gabbard, she was the up and rising star in the Democratic Party until she fell out with the Democratic Party. She went over to the Republican Party. If she had just stayed a senator, or she'd become some of the sort, that'd be one thing. But she's now in the Trump administration, and she's got a, if she gets gone from that, fired by Trump, her political career is pretty much so over. She doesn't have a home. America only has two sides of the same coin. So what do you do? Well, she kind of became a wallflower and nobody heard of her. There was even people putting up mock posters of Tulsi Gabbard. Have you seen this woman? You know, she's been missing in the White House for so many weeks. And the unfortunate part is all the hope that was placed in her, the things that she could get done. As we've seen with a lot of hope placed on a lot of people and Trump himself to begin with, it's all been misplaced because the end results, with her, I mean, she was neutered fast enough to serve the Israeli agenda. Other people either got fired, left, or were always with the Israeli agenda or the neocon agenda, and they were just pretending. And then that includes Trump himself. Trump's been the biggest disappointment for most people, period. And you can watch some people, you know, they try to excuse him. They were trying to excuse him. And as time went on, they stopped excusing him. Some people are still trying to excuse him. Most of MAGA, actual MAGA, left because they weren't MIGA. What's left is MIGA or maybe MIDGA, make Trump great again. Those are his groupies, cult followers that are left. And you know, these are people that bought Trump coins, which are down by 96% from their high. To be part of the Trump family, gave him $30 billion as a present for him and Milani, because Milani also had Milani coins that came out. This is the reality of it. And like I said, unfortunately, she got very little done. She did give us some insights early on into Trump. I remember it was February of last year, maybe it was even March, where she was talking about how, because Trump doesn't like to read, that should be setting off alarm bells already in people's minds. Because Trump doesn't like to read, they had to rearrange the briefs for the president from, you know, having papers with words on it to something that looked like a Fox News brief. You know, so, and what's a Fox News brief? You know, if you look at Fox News or CNN, any of this crap, at best, I'm not even talking to propaganda, I'm just talking about news value. At best, you skim the very top of an issue. They give you the loud sounding headlines and just a skim a little bit of the fat off the top, and you really, you know enough to not know anything. You know enough to have your opinion formed by someone else. And when that's the brief for the president of the United States on things, you know, that's bad. That's very bad. Especially a man like Trump, who really doesn't know a lot about most things when it comes to any world affairs. And he totally does not know economics. We know that. And all the fools that believed him when he said, you know, the evil manufacturers, why they're evil, I'm not quite sure, but the evil manufacturers will pay the tariffs. Well, no. But you know, the majority of American people believe them. And this is just as an example. So when she gave that view that, you know, the briefs are going to be like this, you know, why is anybody then surprised when they find out that Trump's Iran war briefs were 2 minutes of things America blowing up? You know, not America things blowing up, but only the things America's blowing up for 2 minutes. And that's all you need to know, Mr. President, about the war that you've started for the day. So unfortunately, yeah, this is she just didn't not just underperform. She was a total just disappointment and failure.
Yeah. Actually, she gave us a briefing, you remember, briefing on Iran and nuclear program. Apparently, she said there is no sign that Iran is pursuing nuclear weapons. Then Donald Trump came out before the war started, before the first round of wars. Donald Trump said, I don't care what she said. I have my assessment.
Come here, Tulsi. Come here. Pow! Back in the closet. Yeah. If we want to hear from you, we'll pull you out and squeeze your head. That's...
Yeah, that was the end. I think we haven't heard that much from her since then. And with the war, when the war started, we haven't heard anything.
I mean, I hope her husband doesn't have cancer. Bone cancer is any kind of cancer is a bitch. Bone cancer is one of the worst. And you know, I pray that everything goes good for her. But as a member of the cabinet, absolute disappointment. Absolute disappointment.
But when you're in an administration like the Trump administration, what else can you do? Everybody's against you.
You know what you can do? Yes, Masa. What do you want me to say, Masa? You tell me what you want me to think, Masa. I repeat whatever you say, Masa. Yes, Masa. You're the man, Masa. You're always right, Masa. That's right. That's the way you survive in the Trump administration.
Exactly.
His ego. That's it. You know, no matter how stupid a thing he says, yes, Masa. You're the man, Masa. That's it. And if you're not willing to do that, if you have any decency, any self-respect, you know, figure out who you're about to serve. It's not the American people, and it's not your consistent. So it's, you know, that's who you have in power.
Yeah, that's why we had Joe Kent resigning from his position, because he couldn't do anything about it.
And you know, he went after Kent. Kent's wife, who was CIA, she died from the head chopper Jelani's people. Who, by the way, Trump with pride said he's my man, and I put him into power. You know, the guy that's swimming in blood, Christian blood, Alawite blood, Shia blood. You know, that the guy who's, they got photos of him killing, by the way, Americans. You know, cutting women's children's heads off. I mean, he wasn't exactly camera shy about that, but now he's playing basketball with CENTCOM command. You know?
And just 2 days ago, he received two perfumes from Donald Trump's special gift.
The child of dead, the smell of dead child and dead woman, you know, something like that, you know, rotting corpse.
This is how reality is distorted.
My question was, after he visited Trump administration, did Trump wash the blood of little children off his hands, or did he lick it off of his hands?
Sas, when you look at the situation between Israel and Lebanon, you've seen what Hezbollah is doing right now. What is your understanding of the strategy of Hezbollah, and how effective is that in your opinion?
With what Hezbollah has, I think they're pretty effective. I mean, Israel is out to wipe the land clean. Israeli Zionist backers in the West are there to make sure they help. Apple, by the way, Apple Maps, Ethan Levins, if you know who he is, I was talking with him. He was the first one that saw and published the Apple Maps that had wiped all the Lebanese settlements off of southern Lebanon except for Tyr. 3,000-year-old villages, all their names disappeared because they're preparing to replace them with Israeli names. And Israel is out to not just murder off anybody that's left that hasn't gone and keep killing them as they've left. But Israel is trying to exterminate any evidence that these people ever existed. I mean, these villages are 3,000 years old, some are older. They've survived. Much of their populations has been killed many times because of different waves of invaders or wars. But the villages have survived. People repopulated them. Tyr as a city is about 4,500 years old, somewhere around there. Alexander the Great was building quite literally a bridge from the mainland to the original city of Tyr, which was an island. We have plenty of evidence and everything archaeological of how old the city is. The Israelis gave them orders to leave. So they're telling sovereign people in a sovereign nation, you have to leave. And if you don't, we're going to level all these buildings anyways and wipe the city out, because it's not our city, so we'll just exterminate our history and everything else. The Israelis are an out-of-control, psychopathic regime. And the problem with that regime is replacing Netanyahu will actually make things worse. That's the lunacy that you live in. You know, there's 20, maybe 30% of the population that's against all of this. 70%, maybe 80%, somewhere between that, is all for this. And they want it worse. They want more murder. They want more genocide. They want more dog rapes of prisoners. They want more hangings. They want more organs taken out. They want more. They can't get enough of the blood. They freaking cannot get enough of the blood. I mean, when people get on grassy knolls and have picnics watching other people get murdered, when settlers bring their children on the boats and ride up and down the Gaza Strip at night watching Gaza getting destroyed and telling their children, this is where you're going to be living as soon as we get rid of this vermin. And they videotape, and this isn't just conjecture. This is videotape that they post on the internet with pride. So this isn't something else Stas decided to make up, as you know, maybe Israelis are obscure. This is videos, their own videos. These are pogroms against Palestinian villages, and not just Palestinian Muslim villages, Palestinian Christian villages. They go out there and they burn people alive in their houses. They destroy their crops. They steal their sheep. I mean, just look in Jerusalem. Jerusalem used to be a quarter Christian. It's a hell of a lot less than that now. And, you know, you get Christians assaulted every single day. Priests, nuns. We just had that recent incident where a nun was pushed and kicked by one of these psychopaths. I mean, this is something that's it's a very sick society. And God forbid, in that society, if you're an Oriental Jew, a traditional Jew, you know, one of the people actually lived there long before the ones from Europe arrived, the ones that, you know, said we were here before Israel, we'll be here after Israel. Oh, those people get beaten even worse than the Palestinians because they're seen as race traitors. You know, this is a very sick society. That's first and foremost action on anything is violence, including against each other. I mean, this is, I don't know how else to describe it. And we see what they, I mean, when Israeli snipers start whacking themselves because I guess putting bullets in children's heads finally got to them, you know, and they're screaming in a night and are drugged up because they've killed so many children. Well, at least they had some humanity left in them to make them feel guilty. I don't think a lot of them don't have that, even that. You know, this is what we're facing. And as long as the European psychopaths, and not to mention the American psychopaths, are backing them full tilt. Remember what Mert said, they're doing civilization's dirty work.
Yeah.
So, in other words, if you're not part of the EU or the US, you're not civilized. You're animals to be cleared. Whether you're Shia, whether you're Sunni, whether you're Orthodox, whether you're Buddhist, whether you're anything else, you're just animals to be cleared. That's the message that everybody should have heard. The rest of humanity should have heard. That these psychopaths, they're not done. We beat their grandfather's teeth in. When they came last time, the brown plague, and the brown plague's up again. And we're going to have to do it all over again, except this time, leave them in ruins. I mean, we're back to the Nazis. Except the Zionist Jews, anyways, are now part of the club. So we're back to the Nazis. And Europe there's a reason the U.S., unblocked its archives on Germans that it had taken from Germany, on Germans on who was in you know, on their backgrounds from the 1940s, from the early 1940s, you know, whose grandfather was in the SS or Gestapo and all that, and they've now opened it up. It's to normalize for the German population. Go look up your granddad. Oh yeah, he was a Nazi. See, it's okay. Nazis are good. It's good. You know, be a Nazi again. And they're doing this on purpose. It's everywhere in the West. It's permeating everything in the West.
Yeah. How many, do we know how many of these aren't the batteries Israel produce per year or other countries producing for Israel? Because at least in the last 2 or 3 days, we've seen 5 or 6 of them being hit by FPV drones. And what do we know about that?
Well, the Iron Dome can't stop ballistic missiles. It's not made for that. I could do drones, particularly like Shahed 1 drones. They're pretty slow, and they're loud and noisy. The more modern version of Shahids are based off of the Russian Garands. I don't think they can stop. They fly higher. They're a lot faster. And I'm not even talking the Garand 3s, which are jet-powered. There's nothing Iron Dome can really do with those, and they're maneuvering. But the older versions, the first versions, yeah, they're pretty slow. But hey, they took out American radar systems. They're worth $500 million. So you want to talk about a payoff? Whoever piloted that one should have gotten a bonus from the Iranian government. But if you're looking at what they were created for, was to deal with. They were supposed to deal with the rockets that Hamas was firing. Now, Hamas is firing rockets into Israel. They're pretty dumb homemade rockets. I mean, you pretty much, it's just ballistic rockets. There's no guiding them in. They just fire off a bunch of them, and they land wherever, right, in that general direction. They're not much of a payload. I mean, this is homemade stuff, basically. What Iron Dome did, the smart part of Iron Dome is the radar calculations. Because what they do is they pick up all the rockets, and they're just ballistic arcs. You know, they got the parabolic arc, and they're calculating where they're going to land and what's there. And if it's not a village or a built-up area or some base, they just let it go. Maybe there's one or two houses out there. It's just not worth shooting them because it's too expensive. Now, the stuff that's heading into some village or some base, they'll start shooting that. And they were pretty damn effective against that kind of weapon. Iran shooting ballistic missiles in. PAC-3s barely handle ballistic missiles. PAC-2s aren't designed for it. And we've seen PAC-2s firing off, and this is Patriot PAC-2s, firing up to the one count. There's one that I think there was 7 or 8 missiles they fired off, and the ballistic missile just fires right past all of them, blows up somewhere. You know, camera turned, and somewhere a couple buildings over blew up. That's the reality. Iron Dome can't do anything about that. So Iron Dome in Abu Dhabi would be good for any slow drones or maybe very slow cruise missiles, though that's questionable. So it's there. The missiles, part of the missile components are manufactured in the U.S., part in Israel, but they're pretty low on ammunition these days. And they can only produce so much so fast. So there, any system can be overwhelmed. And yes, you're right. I've got one of these videos I'm going to put in actually part of my update that I'm going to videotape after this, where one of these Iron Domes is taken out, one of the launchers taken out by a FPV drone.
FPV drone.
Yeah. And the problem is for Israel, you know, Israel is relatively small. And these Iron Dome missiles don't have that long of range. So, like it or not, you got to get them close enough to the border so you don't have to fly that far. And by the way, for the Israelis, this is a disaster. Because not just because this one launcher was taken out, but because they've got tanks, they've got other equipment. It's all being taken out on the Israeli side now. Not even the stuff that's inside of Lebanon. And Lebanon has been a very bloody nose for them. I mean, yeah, sure, they're great at taking out whole villages, especially when there's nobody there, blowing them up, demolitions, or shooting, dropping 2,000-pound bombs onto 10-story apartment buildings to take out everybody in it. Oh, they're good at that. But fighting face-to-face, or worse, drone-to-face, with Hezbollah has been unmitigated disaster for the Israelis. So we'll see how that goes, how long they can keep swallowing. But right now, I mean, they're rabid with a taste of blood. You saw that the last Freedom Flotilla.
Yeah.
They've started picking some of those off 1,000 kilometers out. A lot of them were picked off over 500 kilometers out. That's international waters. You're not defending your waters. That's international waters. That's called piracy. But worst of all wasn't the beatings, the sexual assaults, the humiliations of these volunteers who were all unarmed civilians. That's not the worst that came out of this, what the Israelis did to them. The worst is when they get dropped off in Cyprus and places like that. And what the European governments, to a lot of their own citizens, they just didn't give a damn. And not just the European governments, New Zealand and Australia. You know, New Zealand told the New Zealanders there, now these people have been stripped of their documents. They've been stripped of their money. And the New Zealand government told them, it's your problem, not ours. Survive however you want. They wouldn't give them any help from the embassy. I mean, this is how spinelessly pathetic the parasite class of the EU and Western governments are. They're parasites. Oh, they'll take, but they break that social contract instantly because they're all bought and paid for by somebody else. I mean, look, the Republican Party in America with Massey being gone, who's left? Rand Paul, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Rand Paul.
Pretty much that's it.
Laura Loomer today said that he's going to be next in the line and they're going to go after him, Rand Paul.
Of course they are. The Republican Party needs to go ahead, and the Democrats aren't that far behind. They're about 80% there.
Yeah.
The Republican parties are basically 99.9% there. The Republican Party might as well register as a foreign agent under the foreign agent laws of 1948 U.S., because they are a foreign agent. They have no representation of the American people. They are an absolutely owned entity, and they are all getting paid by people through a foreign government, that they represent that foreign government. I mean, Ted Cruz told everything on Tucker. I wanted to be the best defender of, I wanted to go to Senate. I want to be the best defender of Israel in the Senate. Not the people of Texas that elected this parasite, but of the Israeli government. I mean, that should be instant disqualifier of, you know, being a member of parliament, of any parliament. If somebody says something like that, okay, we're stripping you of your mandate. Desvidanya. Go have a special election. And you're banned from running. That should be something that the parliament votes on. You don't have that kind of law in the U.S. But Russia does, by the way. Russia does. They can strip a member of parliament of their mandate if they do something like that. Or if they have dual citizenship and they didn't disclose it. They're not, because you're not allowed to be a member of parliament if you have dual citizenship. U.S., that's not a problem. It's very questionable how many of those people have dual citizenship with Israel.
Yeah.
When, you know, if you're a citizen and you have dual citizenship, by the way, that if your government allows it, no problem. But if you go into politics, you can't have dual loyalty.
I think the guy who's replacing Tulsi Gabbard, I don't know if he's Israeli or I don't know. I have no. His name is Aaron Lucas, if I'm not mistaken.
He might as well be Israeli. What does it really matter?
Yeah, it doesn't
at
matter.
At the end of the day.
They own Donald Trump. It doesn't matter who's
absolutely. And you know, people were saying in the operations room when Netanyahu come in, he would sit at the head of the table and Trump would sit at the side. Owned.
Yeah.
Very, very owned.
Yeah. How do you understand the way that Donald Trump withdrawing the troops from Germany and sending more troops to Poland? What is that? And what is the position of Russia in that?
That's very hard to understand, particularly because he just withdrew troops from Poland, the 82nd Airborne Division.
He's talking about 5,000 troops to send to Poland. Why is that? Well, he was a strange guy. He's, you know,
he was withdrawing the striker brigade out of Vilseck, Germany. I used to serve in Vilseck, Germany. I was in third ID, third brigade, one ID, the big red one, stationed in Vilseck. It's very hard to understand what he's doing, and if he'll actually go through with it. On the one side, though, Poland wants to be the biggest whore of America, that of all the other whores of America. I'm your favorite. You slap me around, I'm your favorite. I'm Mr. Pimp. I'm better than those others. That's kind of what Poland keeps screaming. Does it ever help Poland? Not really. No, never. I mean, Poland, let's not forget the Polish governments in the 90s built training camps and helped train the Ukrainian Nazis, whose grandfathers murdered 300,000 Poles. And don't, you know, if you don't have a strong stomach, don't look at the archival photos that they took. Because Nazis like to take photos of their victims. It doesn't matter. They're Germans, Ukrainians, Italians, Hungarians, Jews, Zionist Jews. They're all the same. It's the same mental disease. They love to take photos of their victims. I don't know what it is about it, but they do. And if you don't have a strong stomach for for those types of atrocities, don't look at the archival photos of how they butchered the people, the Polish population in that area. They butchered a lot of what is now called Ukrainians too, if they didn't have the same political views as them. Overall, they killed about 1 million people. So, by the way, they're now Canada is returning the remains of these various Ukrainian Nazis to be buried in a big memorial ceremony and a big memorial park outside of Kyiv, bringing home the Nazis. The Polish people, I don't know why they keep voting for these idiots in government that they have for 30 years. They don't represent their interests. Poland is not better off than it was. Definitely not in population. And feeding the Nazis, that, by the way, hate Poles almost as much as they hate us Russians. If you're hoping they all die on the battlefield, you're still going to have problems with them. And it's never that clean and cut. So I don't know. This is... Poland has been on a politically self-destructive route for 30 years. And they don't look like they're getting off of it.
By the way, there are many good people in Poland, but but the leadership and those people who are running the show, like Sikorsky, like the president, and these are problematic people, so much connected to the neocons in the United States.
Sikorsky, otherwise known as Mr. Applebaum.
Yeah.
Sikorsky was a British citizen. Sikorsky's son is serving in the U.S. Army.
Yeah.
So he's a dual citizenship, and he's the foreign minister of Poland. You cannot have people like that in those kinds of positions with multiple citizenships. Sorry, one second. Reposition myself. This is the problem with old injuries. They give us just huge wads of ibuprofen, 1,200 milligram of horse pills. Got a headache, mine took off your foot, go eat some ibuprofen, don't worry about it. Worry about it later. Not everybody got to live to later, but I did, and later came. It flares up once in a while. Yeah, it's part of life.
So situation in Ukraine is headed toward escalations, or you see, because there are, from what I've seen and I've heard so far, there are a lot of pressures on Vladimir Putin because of the attack on that college dormitory in Russia, because on civilians by drones, Ukrainian drones. And how is that gonna play out for Ukraine, and what would be the response from Russia?
There's a lot of pressure on Vladimir Vladimirovich for the attack on Moscow, for this, for that, and for everything. Look, the majority of Russian people, they want this war to end. They want this war to end with Kyiv flattened, Zelensky burning on a pyre, and the rest of them with their heads on spikes. And I'm being quite serious when I'm saying that. You know, you want to raise the presidential rank, ratings up to close to about 100%, you put Zelensky's head on a spike. And I'm quite serious. The Russian people want blood. They really want blood. I was on RT today and we were discussing that. And I flat out said, you know, if I went to my neighbor and said, I want you to kill my other neighbor, and I trained that neighbor, and I put a loaded gun in that neighbor's hand, and I pushed him to go shoot that other neighbor, in any court of law, I am just as guilty of that murder as the guy that pulled the trigger. So following that, those parasites that sit in Europe, that European elite, are mass murdering bastards just as guilty of every one of these crimes as the Ukrainian drone operator that drove that drone into a dorm with 17, 18-year-old kids in it, freshmen. Merkel is just as guilty, by the way, because she helped set this up, the stage. So she's not off on this, or Hollande. But definitely Macron, Merz, every little... bastard around them, van der Leyen, all of them are guilty mass murders. Every single last one of those little brown is a Nazi bastards. The brown plague, that Nazi plague, they all are part of it. This is going to get escalated. It needs to get escalated into Europe itself. Look, non-Russian Europe, we're 42% of Europe. At this point, the gloves need to come off. Iran showed, you slap around 13 American bases, and no, there's no nuclear war. It's time to start cleaning house. There's a Polish base across the border. That's a staging ground that needs to be wiped out. I'm talking about not hit, but wiped out. So there's a square centimeter of living grass left on it. There's Estonia, there's Finland, there's Latvia. There's drones flying directly through them, probably lifting off of them. Russian electronic warfare is turning them around and sending them right back at these idiots. And Finland suddenly, it's all the evil fault of the Russians. Yeah, because, we don't let the Ukrainian drones into our country. We use an electronic warfare, you turn the coordinates around. You feed it bad info and it turns a drone around and flies in the other direction. Or you just give it an altitude adjustment so it crashes into a field. But it looks like Latvia is planning on having Ukrainians use 5 bases. Okay, you're now a direct participant of this war. Even if you allow enemy drones, what have you, to fly through your airspace without trying to take them out, you are now a direct participant of this war. It's not a proxy war. You are part of this war. It's a declaration of war. And if Latvia allows those bases to be used, those bases should be exterminated. Right from the face of the earth, and the Latvian government, the elites should be destroyed as well. The elites of Europe need to understand they will go meet Jesus a lot faster than they think they will. They are the ones that should be targeted, not the people. Because they feel safe. They feel they can make money off of this. They can stay in power off of this. And who cares if the little people get killed? It only becomes serious when it's them and their families under fire. That's the people. That's the parasites that rule Europe. That's the parasites that rule most of the West. And they are parasites. There's no money for your schools or your children, but there's plenty more money thrown in Ukraine because I get a portion of it back into my pocket. What else would you call that?
Did they stop talking with Russians? I'm talking about Americans, because yesterday Rubio said the talks are on pause. What does that mean? I don't know. Kirill Dmitriev is still talking with them, or what would be the outcome? What do we know about that? Is there any sort of discussions in Russia? How is that going on with the negotiations with Americans? Because after all, we know in the case of Europe, there is no way to negotiate with Europeans.
No, there isn't. No, there is. You put them down, you put your foot on their neck, with your sword up to their throat, and then you start dictating terms to them. That's the only thing these European parasites will understand. They have no other concept. Look, yeah, look at the people that they want. We need to talk to the Russians. Three top front runners for being the negotiator: Kaya Kallas, Merz, and Merkel. You know, if Merkel hadn't gone to the media in 22 and told everybody how she fooled Putin and they were never serious about Minsk 1 and 2, they were just buying time so Ukraine could be ready for a big war with Russia, maybe if she hadn't said all that, she could have actually been one of those candidates. She at least kept it to herself. But since her little deflated ego needed another boost, look how smart I am, and she went and said that, you know, who's there that you can trust on anything? Who in the West is trustable out of anybody in power? Well, outside of Fitzko, and maybe the Czech Bašić. Outside of those two, who's there that you can trust? There is absolutely not a single European leader worth trusting. Now, definitely not to turn your back on them. I'll put a knife in the back instantly. I mean, that's all of the West. You know, you can't and when it comes to the talks with Trump, you know, they'll talk to him, but I don't, just like the Chinese, nobody trusts Trump. How can you trust a man that changes his opinion five times in a day? You know, I mean, what's he standing on today? What time is it? Has he had lunch yet? You know, is he hungry? I mean, what's his opinion today? God only knows. Spin the wheel, roulette wheel. Let's see, where do we land today? That's the administration of Trump. You cannot trust a man. You cannot trust anybody around him. You cannot trust anybody in the U.S. In any U.S. government position, including in Congress. Anybody that there's one or two rational people left, at least on the Republican side, sure. On the Democrats, there's a few more that haven't been gotten rid of by the Democrats yet. But the vast, 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 vast majority of everybody in the U.S. government are sociopathic, parasitic Epstein elites. You're dealing with Epstein's client base. Who can you trust? You can't.
It's so tragic, by the way, what's going on. Yeah, it's, you know, I don't see anything positive coming out of Trump administration. They're just talking about the negotiations with Iran. Nothing. Yeah. It's all nonsense. Yeah. They're not, because it's impossible for them. These guys are incapable of negotiations. They're just talking the talks and not walking the walk.
I'm just wondering if they're even talking to an Iranian. Not part of the negotiation, but if they've even seen an Iranian in the last couple of weeks. I mean, it may be just Trump sitting there to put a mirror up there and going, yep, that's the best negotiation we ever had. I agree with you too. You know, people joke about that, but I don't know. I mean, these proposals get popped up and so on and so on. I mean,
no, the guy is not really changed. No, they're not negotiating when they send the vice president of the United States to Islamabad. Who was not, J.D. Vance was not prepared to talk with Iranians. Right now, they're sending messages, Pakistan, Qatar. what is that?
It's like, you know what it is. When you're in second grade and you like a girl over there and you're afraid to tell her, and you write a note on there, do you like me? And you give it to a friend, here, take it to her. You know, it's what there seem to be.
Silly. It's unbelievable what's going on. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, these are the signs that show that they're not serious. They don't want, I don't know what's in it for them. Because maybe he's manipulating the market. He's making a lot of money by these manipulations.
Absolutely.
That could be one of the reasons. He needs this.
Wait. Stop. J.D. Vance explained that Trump's not making any, he's not manipulating the market. He has people that do his investments for him. There's no insider here. There's no insider. He has people that do his investments.
Yeah. He said that Donald Trump himself is not doing this, but he has people.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, he's a rich man. He has people to handle his wealth. You know, and he's against any kind of corruption. Like, you know, you got 30 minutes put the short position in. I'm getting ready to come out, you know. Yeah.
I think Paul Kerrick Roberts mentioned that. He said maybe in history of the United States, this is the first time they have a president who's doing business while he's in office, and he's doing making decisions, and many people around him know what's going on. They're going to bet, they're going to invest, they're going to do this and that, making a lot of money. So the chaos is helping him. No, people are talking about it. He doesn't care. He himself said he doesn't care about the financial system, financial problems of the American people. Who cares about those people? He's building the ballroom. His company.
$1 billion. A billion. You know, I mean, I understand there's base. There's bunkers underneath that ballroom. For a billion, and he flaunts it. You know, well, the average American can't afford fuel for his car anymore, or let alone, you know, meat. And this guy is constantly, it's $1 billion. That's not real money. It's $1 billion.
This is just. And his sons are producing weapons, missiles for
war. His sons are his sons and his son-in-law are producing land contracts when they go to, quote, negotiate, you know, for development is what they're doing, plus Woodcock. I mean, this is – look at the lead negotiators of the United States. I mean, for God's sakes, Kushner and Woodcock?
Yeah.
Kushner and Woodcock. Repeat with me. Kushner and Woodcock are the smartest two negotiators in America. Well,
they know nothing about the nuclear program. They know nothing about the nuclear negotiations. They just went there to talk. And they thought that it's going to be something about the money, but there is no money in that. This is the problem.
Oh, but they're very good with the Arabs. You know, just go up there, hey, we need $100 billion.
Just imagine going there talking with Iranian Foreign Minister Araghchi, who was part of the negotiations during JCPOA, who knows each and every angle of the nuclear program and negotiations, and talking with Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner, just came out.
It's dumb and dumber, man. It is dumb and dumber. You know, Mirandi was telling me, Professor Mirandi, Saeed was telling me that, you know, he's watching J.D. Vance, you know, call Netanyahu some four times. So the vice president of the United States in negotiating a peace deal is calling and getting marching orders from Netanyahu.
There is no dignity there. There is no.
Oh, Netanyahu made sure the world knew about it, too. I mean, this is a shaming exercise. Put you in your place, little Mr. Vance. I'm your daddy. You know, who's your daddy? I'm your daddy. Boom. You know, this is ridiculous. This is, but you know, when the Republican Party is a foreign agent, yeah, they might as well just change the flag. You know, yeah. They're at it. At least put the Israeli flag next to the U.S. flag in the White House, you know, or over it.
But Donald Trump is receiving a lot of GCC countries are not, you know, in a good position right now. They're feeling a lot of pain. Their economy is shrinking. They cannot sell oil and gas, fertilizers, all just. That's why I think Donald Trump at least he somehow pretends that he wants to put an end to the war, at least. But that's not going to happen. Oh. That's not going to happen anytime soon.
You know, the neocon faction out of the three factions. So you have the neocon, you have the Zionist Jews, and you have the Zionist Christians. It just steadily getting more insane as you go down that lane. The neocons are just, you know, they're just plain greedy. They want to own everything and rule everything. Yeah, but you can understand human greed. You can actually negotiate with human greed. Kagan put the second article out. You know, basically, they got the war they wanted, and it didn't go anywhere near what they thought it was going to be going. And if anybody logically looked, not just the first strike capabilities, but long protruded war, which includes, in this case, of course, if it's a long protruded war, it includes, you know, things like munition production. If anybody looked at that, they wouldn't have gone to war. They wouldn't have never gone to this conflict, but they went because they were all betting on 3 days and it's out, which is incredible because they've tried that in a much more efficient manner. They tried and accomplished, killing off a large chunk of the Iranian leadership back in July. And what were the results? Yeah, exactly. So why do you think repeating that in a much smaller, confined scope is going to give you anything better? But they bet everything on a 3-day exercise. And they bet badly.
Yeah, let's see what would happen. And no sign of any sort of progress so far.
Yep. The best thing Trump can do at this point is walk away. The oil shock is here. I mean, the only reason it's not as bad as it could be is because everybody's feeding off of their reserves. But those reserves, you know, the reserves for the UK, Germany, and France are all expect to run out in the first half of June, maybe mid-June. So about 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. That's it. They're buying up the American, you know, when Trump's, all these ships are coming in, all these tankers to buy up oil, we have excess oil. No, you have, U.S. is a net importer of oil. What you have is your reserves that you're just dumping on the market. And those were only at 50% or so from before COVID. And when that runs out, when you're not even using your national reserves for your nation, you know, all these other all these other Eastern countries, they went to China and said, yeah, can we buy off your reserves? And China said, no. Yeah, this is the grasshoppers bouncing at the as winter's coming. Knock, knock, Mr. Ants, can you give me some food? No. <Yeah. laughs> Why didn't you build up your reserves? Oh, you didn't think you needed to. Well, you know, we did. So bye-bye. Survive the best you can. But, but the U.S. is quite the opposite. The grasshoppers came bouncing up there. Sure, take everything you want. You know, and screw my other ants in my ant nest. You know, they don't need it. So at this point, if I was in the American people and understood anything economics, I'd be getting very worried and upset.
Pakistan is doing this right now, Sus.
Yeah.
Pakistan.
Yeah. If you're not angry yet, go climb under a rock. You'll never get angry.
Yeah.
You know.
And if the war, by the way, if they start a new round of war, Iran said it's not going to be regional. It's going to go beyond the region. And I'm sure that they're going to hit something in Greece, Diego Garcia, maybe Germany, Romania, maybe all these countries are.
Well, they can't reach Romania, but I mean, no, I'm sorry. They can't reach Germany, but they can reach Romania. Yeah. There's a big NATO base there. But it doesn't have to go, it can stay regional. If you take out the electric power capacity in most of these countries, that's it. You know, there's no water. Let's just begin with that. It's 45, 50 degrees right now. Kuwait gets up to 55. You know, I've been in 50-degree heat. That's up in Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan, those areas, western Kazakhstan along the Caspian will get up to 50, 55. Most of the time it's 40, 45. And then winter's minus 30, of course. We're a little bit different than that, those areas. But, man, you know, 50 degrees, the last thing you want to do is put on a flak vest body armor, grab a whole lot of equipment, and start trying to run. You know? And the worst is, in the Kazakhstan where I was working, it was a dry heat. In those areas, if you're trying to grab an island or two or what have you, man, it's 100% humidity. And that kind of heat, oof. you're going to have heat casualties left and right, let alone bullets and drones. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what Trump is thinking. I don't think anybody. I don't think Trump knows what Trump is thinking.
Yeah, he doesn't know.
It's like you hit in a computer, auto generate a message.
It's random. Yeah,
random words get put together and try to figure out what the random words this week are going to be or this hour. I think that's somewhere there's an auto generator in Trump's mind that this kind of works that way. We laugh, but I mean we're in very dangerous
We laugh, but it's tragedy. Yeah, it's a tragedy. People are getting murdered by these policies.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And we're in extremely dangerous waters.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Asaf, for being with us today. Great always pleasure. A pleasure. As always.
Sorry I was bouncing around. I kept having to move the foot around.
Understandable.
it'll be okay in a couple of days.
Yeah. Thank you.
The fortunate part, you know, that some injuries they'll let themselves be known for a while, like the rest of your life.
See you soon.
Yep. Cheers.
Bye-bye. Cheers.